my opening words, I shared with you the history of the Standing on the Side of Love campaign. It has inspired countless people, Unitarian Universalists and others, to live our values in the world. During my message for all ages, I shared the story of the young boy who inspired me to consider the famous Unitarian Universalist call to live our faith by standing on the side of love from different perspectives. How might we describe the way we live our faith, transform our expression and commitment to it? What does it really mean to stand, speak, sing, act, dance, etc., on the side of love? What other verbs can we use to express ways of living our faith? Consider this message to vote on the side of love. It is parts of the transcript from a video that won a UUA contest. If fear and hate are poisoning our country, what is the antidote? Love. Love. Based not on some cynical partisan desire to find an edge, but coming from our hearts and our beliefs. Love, whether they were born on the same side of town, the wrong side of the tracks, or the other side of the world. Love, even if they might not look like us, pray like us, talk like us, or love like us. Love is being human. And no one should be dehumanized just because of who they are. Because when the most important thing goes from who's wrong to who's been wronged, the conversation changes dramatically. Think about that. When the conversation goes from who's wrong to who's been wronged, how does the conversation change? And once that change has been made, it spreads. Suddenly, it's not about fighting. It's about faith. It's not about who your friends are. It's about who your family is. Your big family. Your human family. It's about remembering that what makes people different is a lot smaller than what makes them the same. It's about turning a cheek and lending a hand. It's about lowering your voice and elevating the conversation. It's about love and the power of love to overcome our differences and make the world a better place for all of us. It's about treating people as people. And once you get to know people as people, it makes all the difference. So this November, amid the fear and the hate, remember the one thing that can truly make a change. The one thing that can bring clarity to our disagreements and justice to the oppressed. Take a stand, but never forget what side you stand on. And when someone asks for your vote, stand with love. Wow. Now that definitely inspires me to vote on the side of love. What else would we like to do on the side of love? I was visiting with Beth Rust recently, and she was telling me about different programs for the inmates, including meditation, religious services, healthy relationships workshops, and an art class. She spoke of the wonderful volunteers who come to prisons to lead such programs. She remarked that the process of taking time to paint a picture can be truly transformative, and it felt like her God was coming alive within her throughout the creative process. She declared that the group process felt like creating on the side of love, and that a group of 10 women inmates is creating an art gallery next month. Beth's stories really broadened my perspective on standing on the side of love. Her experience of meditation and attending different worship services led to her profound insights about the similarities of the different religions. It truly connected her to people who were different from her. I'm calling it worshiping on the side of love. What felt most significant for me was the realization that there are countless ways to be on the side of love. What ways speak to you? How do you want to live on the side of love? As a religious community of many creative intellectuals, we have no shortage of inspiring messages of the ways we can live our faith. Before and after the Standing on the Side of Love message came out, many Unitarian Universalists professed that our seven UU principles are the ideal way for living our faith. Think about it for a moment. Respecting all beings, promoting tolerance and compassion, working for peace and freedom for all, and taking care of the interdependent web of life are perfect examples of living our values. But how do we balance our ideals with acceptance of the real world, where our UU principles can feel impossible to live by? Honestly, I really want us to think about this. Can you actually follow all seven principles in the real world? Can you fully adhere to any one of the principles on a daily basis? My older daughter shared during a lay-led service this summer that she struggled with the concept of respecting someone who had been disrespectful to her and her friends. Respecting all people is not as easy as it sounds, nor is following any of our other principles. We have to be careful to not let our religious ideals get in the way of living our faith. By accepting that our real worlds won't be ideal or even remotely resembling our ideal, we can begin to take small natural steps to strive for living our faith. It sounds backwards, but the ideals can actually hold us back. How many times have you heard someone say that they aren't going to bother recycling or reducing their carbon footprint because it won't make a difference? Or have you heard someone ask why they should respect all people when no one else does? Living our faith is about behaving in ways that we believe are right, regardless of how big or small the impact is, and regardless of how others behave. We must begin by taking small steps in the right direction. When we let go of the focus on magic success stories or doing things perfectly, then the real work of living our faith can begin. When we let go of our own egos and we practice self-acceptance and self-forgiveness, we can share that compassion with others, ranging from strangers to our loved ones. I have countless personal stories of learning from my mistakes. I could use it to guide others to accept and grow from their mistakes. I have other stories of times when I was afraid to try something new or to meet someone who was different from me. What if they didn't like me? What if I said or did something that offended them? I am sometimes so afraid of being politically incorrect that I don't speak or act. We know we grew up in the society that conditioned us with far too many biased and prejudiced beliefs, that we are constantly afraid of opening up in situations with people who are different from us. But what if instead of hiding, we tried speaking whatever fear we were feeling in the moment? The more people I speak deeply and honestly with, the more I realize that these are universal tendencies. We all have insecurities. We are all afraid. During our Living Our Faith talk after the service last week, I was talking to Susan Kernan about her idea for hosting conversations about faith, not fear. I thought she was sharing another inspiring way to live our faith, and I would love to talk more with her and you to go deeper into that reflection. But for now, I will keep it simple and surprisingly harsh by asking you honestly, how often are you living your life based on fear instead of love? When I was in my 20s, I read this eye-opening book by local authors Terry Hunt and Karen Payne Gurney called Emotional Healing. 20-something years later, I still often remember the main message, that emotionally healthy people live life by seeking pleasure, while those of us who grew up in dysfunctional families live life by avoiding pain. Throughout my life, fear has often held me back from reaching for my dreams and seeking joy. The book says that by accepting that pain and challenges and hard days are a natural part of life, we ultimately live lives filled with more joy and happiness by not being afraid to look for and go after what we want. While sayings like go for your dreams and work for what you want often conjure up materialistic visions, I am now understanding that human beings want love and connection more than anything else. I have said before that the most common regrets expressed at the time of death are ones about not making enough time to enjoy loved ones, or saying or doing something that hurt a loved one. We live in a society so focused on financial success that we too often forget to focus our energy on relational success. Human connection really does matter. That's a big part of why we are here at First Parish gathered today. Having loved ones around us inspires us to keep going on our bad days and makes the good days feel even better. I believe that human connection inspires us to overcome our fears and is the key to living our faith. One of my favorite movies/books that I've shared with the teenagers here is Soul Surfer. It's a true story of a girl who overcame losing her arm to a shark bite to continue on competitive surfing. My favorite part of the story was not her almost winning a surfing competition at the end, but the part where she begins to heal her emotional pain by going on a mission trip. She went with her church youth group to the area affected by the tsunami. There she met young children afraid to go in the water, just like her. Devastating experiences caused both her and the children to fear the ocean water. Together, they overcame that fear. First, by holding hands as they touch their toes in the water. Next, by splashing together in the shallow waves. And so on until together they felt less afraid and were able to enjoy playing in the water. The shared experiences and human connections across their language differences allowed them all to heal. Likewise, I will never forget one part of my older daughter's credo shared here on Coming of Age Sunday a few years ago. She talked about how meeting the kids at Renewal House changed her life. For a few years, my two daughters and I would travel to Roxbury once a month to host a birthday wishes party for Renewal House. Our trip into Roxbury was usually stressful, as we complained about our rushed schedules and traffic, etc., etc. I was always usually secretly a little afraid of what would happen once we got there. There were new families changing. You just never know what could happen or who you might meet. My girls admitted that they were nervous too. But it never failed that we would have a wonderful visit and left feeling like our hearts were full. As Dominique said in her credo, the value wasn't about us doing a community service project. It was about us meeting people and enjoying the moment. The most profound one for her was near the holidays when the sweet little girl tried to give her a present. Dominique thought, how could this little girl living in a shelter with so little have the generosity to share with me? It touched Dominique enough that she wrote about it 5 months later. These real human interactions are what matters in our lives. These human connections are what make living our faith important. Real people to real people, one step at a time, doing our best. For a long time, I have been uninspired by the huge, expensive mission trips that many churches go on. I don't admire the concept of the wealthy white people going to the poor cities, states, or countries to save the day. To me, that is really not what it is about. We have all been wronged by the messages and oppressions in our societies. And part of reaching the ideals of our UU principles will be combining our resources and energy and commitment to create equality, peace, and freedom for all. I believe that when I am honestly living my faith, I am saying, I am humbled and hurting just like you. I am privileged living the way I do, and I would like to share some of the resources I have. And I would like to work with you to make the world better for everyone. The one place I am willing to travel to do social justice work is New York City, so that our teenagers can do the Youth Service Opportunities Project. When I first started working here in Sudbury, I wasn't able to take the teens my first year because the RE committee had the same concern I just expressed about mission trips. Why travel all the way to New York City when we have plenty of shelters and soup kitchens right here locally? That year, I brought a group of teens to Rosie's Place in Boston, and we worked serving dinner. The teens did the service project, but they did not speak or connect with any of the guests at Rosie's Place. A year later, we tried YSOP in New York, where the program requires the youth to not just make and serve dinner, but to then sit down at the tables, and eat dinner together, talk, and play games. While it might just look like a bunch of people playing board games, it is transformative as people are relating, connecting, telling stories, exchanging jokes, and breaking down stereotypes. When you hear a person who is homeless tell his or her story, they are no longer just a stereotype. They are a real person, suffering through some hard times. When you discover something you share in common with that person who is homeless, your understanding is transformed. Last year, after hearing that more than 50,000 people had spent the previous night in a New York City homeless shelter, and seeing a young child come into the soup kitchen without a parent, one of our teens, Oliver Willett, proclaimed, "If there is a God, he has a lot of explaining to do." Every year that I bring our teens, I am in awe by how they overcome their fears of this unknown, stereotyped-filled world and come home with deeper compassion, understanding, and gratitude. I will keep driving to New York if it means I can introduce our kids to this kind of experience. I have been honored to work with children and teens for so many years, striving in small ways to work for peace, equality, and compassion in our world. It doesn't matter who brings more resources to the table, as long as we all show up ready to work. While this visioning of living our faith might sound impossible to achieve in our lifetimes, it really just requires us to begin one step at a time. Moment by moment, opening up and listening to each other's stories with compassion. Everyone should be invited to the table to share their stories. Everyone should be invited to begin taking steps to live their faith in the ways that they are inspired to do so. How might you share your love each day? Some days, it might simply be to slow down and spend some time with a loved one. Some days, it might be to help a neighbor. Some days, it might be to gather with a group to do a project. Like today, our youth group will join with folks from other Sudbury faith communities to package food for our local food pantries. And some days, it might be sharing resources with an international organization living our values in the world. What is most important to do is doing something every day that is living your faith. Sometimes it is the way we talk, speak on the side of love. Sometimes it requires standing up for something we value. Stand on the side of love. Sometimes it calls for us to celebrate something we value. Dance on the side of love. Sometimes it demands that we get loud and fight for something we value. Shout on the side of love. Sometimes it inspires mindfulness about changing our way of thinking to not believe oppressive messages. Think on the side of love. Sometimes it challenges you to change the way you have been behaving to be more respectful of someone. Act on the side of love. Sometimes it welcomes you to come together with others to do any of this kind of work. Gather on the side of love. I hope you get my point. There are countless ways to live our faith and spread love throughout our world. First Parish has a new Living Our Faith task force that will give us even more opportunities to connect to the impressive individual projects happening by our members and to come together to work on one big project. I encourage you to live your faith that way. I also encourage you to live your faith by spreading love, first to yourself, then to your loved ones, and then to your neighbors, and then to your town, and then to your community, and then to the world. To adapt the great words of Lei Tao, if there is to be love in the world, there must be love in the nations. If there is to be love in the nations, there must be love in the cities. If there is to be love in the cities, there must be love between neighbors. If there is to be love between neighbors, there must be love in the home. If there is to be love in the home, there must be love in the heart. May there be love in each of your hearts and homes. And may that love inspire you to go out and do something on the side of love today.